World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I got to be honest, not that I wouldn't be honest. I'm amazed every morning when I get up and I come down to do this show and I look over here and there's right now 30 people who are up in the queue. I got to tell you, just amazes me. It's going to grow to 50. There's more, just so that those of you know, there are more people who are watching the show than are in the queue. Some of you would like to get in the queue. The only way that you're able to do that, I think, is you go to our website, coachdavelive.com, and click on Join the Huddle. That's how you get in. We don't block anybody from being in there. We love the interaction of folks that are in here. But I just continue to be amazed to think that at least 32 of you right now got up in the morning and you were thinking of me. That sounds kind of arrogant, but the truth is, I'm going to turn on the coach. And I'm just amazed. And I don't know about you, as I've said many times, golly, has my faith grown over the last three years just doing this. You know, you guys are a real challenge to me. I was speaking to Mark Trump yesterday. Mark Trump said, you know, we were, among other things, Mark said, man, where do you come up with this stuff? Because you have to admit, if you're watching this show, it's fresh every day. Yeah, we repeat some of the same stuff, but for the most part, it's fresh. It's fresh and it's controversial and it's deep and I've grown so much. So I get up in the morning and I try to think, yeah, Lord, what can I talk about today, Lord? I mean, this is going to get boring, right? It never does it? It never, ever does. I just want to thank all of you out there for being faithful and staying with us. And I noticed yesterday we broke over 400. I think it's the first time ever, 400 live on YouTube. 400. We had 400 watching on YouTube. And Before It's News, thank God for Michael and the crew at Before It's News. They're streaming live for us. We don't know how many people are watching there. And there's something happening here, isn't there? There's something happening here. And, you know, I was out, it's Friday, so it really is going to try to be Flea Flicker Friday here. And somebody's knocking on the roof. I thought it was my wife. It was the dog scratching his leg. You ever see the dog? They do that. Stop that. And I was coming out of the, Michelle, I get up early. I got up at 5 this morning. Michelle, she usually makes it out about 6:40, 6:45 or so, and puddles around, reads your scripture, turns on the coach and everything. And I was picking my game uniform today. Here's what I came out with. Y'all need Jesus and Jesus. And she says, is that what you're wearing? Not criticizing, but I usually have my Coach Dave Live shirt on and my cross hat and all that. And I said, yeah, this is what I'm wearing. This is what I'm wearing. And here's what hit me this morning. First thing this morning, and again, Flea Flicker Friday, go throw some stuff. I got some juicy stuff, but you're welcome to throw some juicy stuff out there as well. I was realizing yesterday, Michelle and I, last evening, I did my husbandly duty and kind of went shopping with her. Actually, I was on a hunt. I was on a hunt because the UPS guy and the, what's the other guy called, FedEx guy and every other of those guys, they continue to deliver our stuff that we order goes someplace else. I never know where it goes. Never do. we never know. The other day, our neighbor brought us some. Hey, is this yours? And yeah, this is ours. And you know what really messes them up is I don't have a mailbox. We don't have a mailbox out in front of our house. My daughter does. There's a mailbox there with her address on it. And then right beside of it, I made a little sign and it has my address on it. So my daughter has, there's a mailbox. My daughter, and these guys can't read. I don't get it. They can't read it. They keep delivering. So I said, that's enough of it. After we had another package yesterday afternoon delivered to a different place, I said, that's it. I'm going to clear this up. So I went out and tried to buy some numbers that you put on your mailbox. There's little reflector numbers for our property and the new property. And I'm going to make a sign, go stick it in front of it so people see this. These people live here. And as I was out with Michelle and we were doing that, and, you know, guys, we hunt when we shop. I hunt. I don't go in and look at everything. I got something I'm after, man. I went to Walmart, went to three different places. None of them had a five. The number that I'm trying to get, no fives. There are no fives. Couldn't find any. Then I went to another one. There weren't any ones. Well, I needed two fives and needed two ones, and I ended up getting them. But I noticed this as I was out. I wore this garb right here last night. I don't want you to think I slept in the same outfit. This is what I wore out last night for about an hour and a half when we're out. Y'all need Jesus and my Jesus hat. Walmart, Rural King, what's that big one? Lowe's. I was in all of them. Saw hundreds of people. And never saw anybody but me with a Jesus billboard. Jesus billboard. And I was thinking, I was walking down the aisle of Lowe's, in fact, and I would see people, they would look at me, they would see Jesus, and they would see Jesus, and some would smile, most would divert their eyes. And I got to thinking, where in society today do you see that name? Why don't we see more of that name? Are Christians ashamed of that name? I'll see Nike. I'll see Buckeyes. I'll see everything. Why are we ashamed of the name of Jesus? Those of us who claim to be his followers. The conversation would start over Jesus. Conversations.
Coach?
Hang on a second, Joe. And how they've taken the name of Jesus and they put that name in a cupboard somewhere, and they bring out God. You can say God. Well, what God? What God? In fact, the first commandment says, he'll have no other gods before me, so there must be other gods. What has happened to our culture and our society where there's something about that name that they don't like? Come on in, Joe.
I was going to tell you, when I wear my cross hat out in, say, Home Depot or Walmart or whatever, you know, you're right, you get an occasional smile, but mostly you see them look and turn away.
Yeah.
And they don't want to talk about this.
Why is that?
They don't want to deal with it.
What a great discussion. Why is it?
It's not a new phenomenon. Decades ago, I guess early 80s, I was a Santa Claus for a department store chain in South Carolina, in Lancaster, South Carolina. But I only did it if they let me set up the place where he sits and everything. So instead of Merry Christmas, I put Happy Birthday Jesus above the chair real big and all that and everything. And you should have seen the parents antsy, looking away, wouldn't make eye contact or anything. But I was the only Santa in town. They only had one in that town. And so I got to tell every child about Jesus. Who's, you know, why do we have Christmas? You know, ask questions like that. And the parents were just sitting there like they were walking on coals.
And Larry, it's at the name of Jesus that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Not God, not the name of God. But at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, is the glory of God. I've been crucified with Jesus, nevertheless I live. But not I, Jesus lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by that name. Why? There's something about that name. Why does that, even today, cause such conflict? Come on in, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're convicted, Coach. When they see it, everything they're doing wrong in their life flashes right before their eyes.
You know, Alan, I think so, but I don't think so. I mean, I do, but I don't.
Coach.
I think we're almost beyond conviction. Some people are almost beyond conviction. And hang on, Vic. And I think about the am I that weird? Am I that weird that I would be out for an hour and a half last night where all the people are and no one Not one place that I looked did I see anybody wearing anything that represented Christ. I was the only guy. Am I that big a freak? Go ahead, Vic.
No, it's that you're too radical. Most of these people, they think that Jesus Christ is too radical. He stirs up the pot too much. So since most of these people don't want that much attention, that's why they don't do it. But I'm so glad that you do it, because this is the way it has to be. We have to be proud of our Lord and Savior, the most beautiful and perfect being ever, and these people can't see that. But they will. They'll figure it out. Maybe too late.
I think it's some of that though. I think here's what I think it is. It's the same thing about my commentary that I wrote yesterday regarding I'm proud to be white. By the way, Mikey, thanks for mentioning it today in your daily word. I appreciate it. I got a lot of impact on that. See, I think it's the same thing. I think there's a self-censorship that we've been taught that you keep your religion to yourself. There's a separation between the church and the state. They told us you can't talk about religion and politics, both of which I love to talk about, by the way. And so people, even church-going people, are taught to your belief system is just one of many belief systems in this multicultural society where we live, and your values are your values, but they're no better than anybody else's values, and you are not to shove your values on anybody else, and it's a freedom of religion. That's what I think it is. And I think it's the same thing like the commentary I wrote yesterday regarding I'm proud to be white. It's the exact same thing. See, we're taught to be ashamed of being white, and we're taught to be ashamed of being a Christian. Can you folks think of any race of people more spoken evil, that's not the right word, more spoken negatively about than white people? And so we've come to accept it. We've come to accept it that people speak negatively about our faith. So we, same thing. We just don't open our mouth. We just don't say anything about it. And I think it's a shame. Is that Mark? Somebody come on in. Come on.
Yeah. I was just thinking, what if we, in the queue, what if we all had sightings? In other words, we got our normal groups of Jesus lovers, but outside that in the public, what if we had sightings of Jesus? I think we would be reporting it. Because if you think about it, I don't remember seeing anyone wearing it except us.
Right.
So what if we just, you know, as an aside, we all started looking. Who's wearing Jesus? Where do we see Jesus?
Oh, that's good, Mark.
And then we could just throw it in. Hey, I saw somebody yesterday. I'd like to see how infrequent that is.
Yeah, it is very infrequent. And I love this shirt. I got the Bob Evans bought this for me at the Walmart when we were in Chappaqua. Y'all need
Amen. Jesus. God bless them.
Jesus. They do, don't they? They all need Jesus. Why are we ashamed to be carrying that message around with us? And I think again, it's societal, it's cultural. We'll put Nike on. We'll put, we'll put all kinds of stuff over. We'll wear it. We'll advertise for everybody. But I'm not ashamed of that name. I don't want to get buried down on this, but I think it's
hey, Coach. I think what you make one point though is that we should follow one lesson of the Sodomites is we should be proud. Be proud of Jesus.
Hey, so I agree, Vinny. So think about this, folks, because this happened to me yesterday. I don't see this very often. Last night I saw a woman dressed in Muslim garb. Now, you don't see much of that around here, and we're out here in the sticks where I live, out here in flyover country. Not in Licking County, Ohio, not a whole lot, not a lot of them. There are some, but not a lot of them. And I saw one last night, and you know what I knew? As soon as I knew it, I knew who she was. Are you with me? How come when I walk in the store, as soon as people see me, they don't know who I serve? It's subtle. But
Amen, Coach.
We're ashamed.
This is a big message. And I'll go ahead and challenge you with this. Why don't we have Jesus ball caps? I won't wear a beanie like that, but I'll wear a Jesus ball cap. And it's just makes sense that we have one, right?
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
So my question is this: does a Jesus fish count as a sighting?
No. No.
Even that sends the message. You remember that even that what that was for? That was how they could say that there was a Christian here or That's a Christian right. meeting here without the cross.
Well, well you got all those Jesus fish on those cars that just pass you when you're already doing 5 miles over the speed limit.
That's right. That's right.
The name of Jesus is unique, though, what he's saying, God and all the different names. But Jesus is polarizing.
Mark, not only is he polarizing, he is non-existent in society. You don't see it. I'm telling you, I dress like this regularly. I almost always now when I go out, I wear my cross hat, but almost always I wear my Jesus visor. I have this one and I have a blue one. And I almost always wear my Jesus visor. When I golf in the Pirate League, I wear my Jesus visor. And I'm telling you, you just open your eyes today, wherever you go today, and think about this. How many times you see this name out in society, and you're going to be shocked.
Amen. Amen.
I want a Jesus war hat.
What's that?
I want a Jesus war hat.
What is a Jesus war hat? What do you mean by that one?
Your camouflage hat with Jesus on the front.
All right.
Uh-oh, you're going to need orders now, Coach.
Oh, my goodness, I'm going to be in some trouble.
That's a good one, though.
I'm excited about this. You know, Operation Save America is going on up in Wisconsin. As I said yesterday, I couldn't make it, and I feel bad about it. They got a big crowd up there, and a lot of good pushback. But I'm there. Jared, pull up my picture. It says Coach Picture. Dr. Patrick Johnston, Elizabeth Johnston, the activist mommy's husband, sent me this. He says, Coach, I want you to know we miss you, but you're here. You're here. So Michelle Davis and her pro boards, they took these pictures and they put them on a rider truck, man, budget truck. They rented a truck. Garbage Fire Festival. They thought I was going to be there, and I'm a hate liner. The only thing standing between tyranny and liberty is a Christian heterosexual man. Well, thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Feminist Flag Corps, you gaggle of self-proclaimed witches. Thank you for it. So I was in Wisconsin yesterday. Anybody tells you I wasn't? I was there. Ray was there. Jane was there. And, I'll shut my mouth before I get any farther. So anybody says, was coaching Wisconsin? Yes, I was all over a truck being driven around Wisconsin.
Yes, you were. You know that comes from? That comes from, do you know Richard Painter? Richard Painter's the guy who coined the phrase dumpster fire. So all she's doing is ripping up his phrase for this stupid thing, and it's not even as cool.
Well, it is what it is. They've spent a lot of money. They spent a lot of money trying to get me, and I wasn't even there. So praise the Lord for that.
Hey, Coach. Coach, you've been listed as a hate liner.
I'm a hate liner. Good, man. I'm a hate liner. By the way, that was a much younger picture of me. God, I remember that guy. I remember him. Boy, oh boy. Anybody else? I'm flicking fleas. Anybody want to flick a flea before?
Yeah, Coach, can I get in there right quick?
Yeah, sure.
You was talking about, I had told you earlier this week about my daughter. Tuesday afternoon, in the process of taking her to the rehab, we had extended conversations, and she said, Dad, the reason I wouldn't contact you or talk to you during the times that I was doing the bad things is because you were truth.
Mm.
And she said, that was a time that I hated to hear the truth. I didn't want to accept the truth. I didn't want to hear it. Just like the shirt says, truth sounds like hate. And she spent so much time living in the world now that she said that people don't want to hear the truth, and that's it is that simple. Truth sounds like hate. People don't want to hear the truth. The word, our Bible, that God and Jesus Christ left for us is the truth.
Yeah.
So and then on top of that, several weeks ago, Rachel's grandfather, my wife's grandfather, passed away, and he had a hat from back in the 80s or 90s that was a red cap, just like you've got on now, but a full cap, and it said, Jesus Christ, the real thing, written in kind of the italic of the old Coke. You remember Coke?
I remember this. Yeah.
Okay. And actually we got a place here locally that we're in the process of trying to find out how much they would charge us to make that cap. I'm going to get dozens of them made as long as it don't cost too much money, but I hadn't seen that hat since the 80s or 90s. Mm. So,
see, Kevin,
I just want to throw
that. At the root of what you're saying, I've got something prepared if the Lord lets me get to it. At the root of our issues here, there are several things, but number one issue, I think, is we no longer Americans, Christians. I'm talking about me, okay? We no longer fear God. We don't fear God. We've been taught a God of love, and praise God, He is a God of love. But I thought about, as I was doing some show prep this morning, I was thinking about my own relationship with my father. And sadly, I would say this, as a young child, often I feared my dad more than I loved him. I always knew he loved me. My dad was a wonderful guy. He wasn't mean to us. He wasn't abusive. He worked and worked and worked to try to take care of five children. A lot of times, as many of you would probably relate to, he was a shadowy figure because he'd work double shifts. He'd work 16 hours a day and get up and come home, sleep 7 hours, and go back and do it all over again to try to, you know. So he was a shadowy figure, my dad. But I had great respect and fear for him. I knew that if my dad told me that I didn't, if he told me to do something and I didn't do it, I knew there was going to be something. I knew I better do it. And why don't we have that feeling towards our Heavenly Father? Because our earthly father, whether we've put this together in our mind or not, a lot of people relate to their Heavenly Father in the same way they relate to their earthly father. When you say to somebody that God is a Heavenly Father, to some people, that's not good. That's not good. When they think about their own dad was never around, he neglected them, and he was drunk, and he hit them, and he hit their mom and everything. So their image of a Heavenly Father, isn't very good. And then we have the other side where we have the permissive Heavenly Father that, you know, I'm okay, you're okay, God loves everybody, once saved, always saved, just come sit around the campfire here and let's, that ain't healthy either, boys. That isn't healthy. And we have so much of the love gospel in our American churches today. We don't have any, there's no fear gospel. There's no fear gospel. I want you to chew on that. I want to hear from you here in a second on that, because I think this is far deeper than what we understand. And another thing that is at the problem is, can we be honest here? We don't really take God at his word. If we took God at his word, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. If we really took God at his word, we would not be acting the way we act. We just would not be. If we just pulled the scriptures out and we followed the scriptures, we open that Bible and it says, occupy till I return. It says, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Time out. Christians right now, every time you turn on your television, my wife and I, we no longer have television. I have a television, but it's not connected to anything. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. You turn on that TV, it's all unfruitful works of darkness. All of it is. All of it. And yet you sit there and that bilge comes into your house however many hours a day it is. You have that stuff coming in there. And the Lord said, don't be messing with that stuff. Don't be doing that. The Lord also said, I'm not going to have any other gods before me. I don't want any idols. No, I don't want anything that's going to come between me and you. Nothing. Not your cell phone. I don't want you to idolize your cell phone. I don't want you to idolize the Buckeyes. I don't want you to idolize the Cleveland Browns. I don't want you to idolize your car. I don't want you to idolize your garden. I don't want you to idolize none of that. I don't want any of that stuff. Now, if we took God seriously, we would not be behaving the way we would behave. But it's happened to us because why? Because I think, first and foremost, the Bible tells us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Do you fear God? When you're sitting around, when I'm sitting around on my computer late at night and I'm searching or doing whatever I'm doing, and that image flashes across You know what I'm talking about. And I think, well, if I click on that. I have no big deal. I'm going to click on that. When something catches your eye, catches that eye gate and pulls you to, and it's not good. Do you know the Lord's watching to see if you click? Do you know that?
Of course he is.
And what if, see, it's delayed punishment. What if every time you clicked on that porn, that naked girl, you got an electrical shock?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think God's watching to see if you click, because God knows whether you're going to click or not. He lets the opportunity present in front of you so you will find out what you do, so you will know where you're standing at.
That's it. I got you. But the point is, Larry, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Jesus Christ is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sakes. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Jesus Christ is coming to town. Do we live like that? Do you live your life like that? That he's coming and he's going to hold an account? You say, well, Coach, no, I don't worry about that because I'm saved. I'm saved. Okay, cool. I was safe in my house too. But my dad came home. I had mowed the yard after he told me to mow the yard. It was, whoo. You with me?
Hey.
We don't fear the Lord. We don't teach the Lord. We teach the love of the Lord. We teach the love of the Lord, the love of God over and over and over and over and over and over, the love of God. And thank God for his love. But I fear his wrath. Yeah, Roger.
Well, I see a lot of Jesus on Sunday.
Inside the Sunday. Church, maybe.
Yeah, he's all Sunday, baby. He's all over the place, man. Come on now. One day out of seven, okay. we're not doing too bad. One out of seven.
Well, yeah. Well, it's safe to go to church and talk about Jesus because they.
Oh yeah,
I think.
Yes.
Right.
They,
you know, you're not talking about him there.
When they're talking about the love of God, they never seem to mention the fact that if God loves you, he disciplines you.
Amen. So, Larry, folks, here's one of the things I want to – Jared pulled up. You guys know who Jordan Peterson is? Jordan Peterson is a he's a Canadian professor who's all the rage in regards to conservatism now.
Yeah, but he's a gatekeeper, Coach.
He's what?
He's a gatekeeper. He's not. He's no real harbinger of anything. Trust me.
Well, I'm not saying it one way or another about him. I just want you to watch this video. Jordan Peterson, I don't know where he is spiritually. I don't know much about him, if he's a believer, claims to be a believer. But I want you to watch this video. It caught my eye yesterday. He's talking about the problem in America and in the American church is that there's too much grace, specifically in the church. Now, folks, this is not – he ain't a Bible thumper like me. Jordan Peterson ain't wearing a Jesus hat and going around telling everybody that y'all need to hit it. No, he ain't doing that. But if you want to hear a secular guy, I think he's secular. He may claim to be a Christian, but he's very, very shallow Christian if he is. I want you to listen to this discussion he has in regards to there's way too much grace. Jordan Peterson tells this bishop that the church overemphasizing grace, that's why they're losing people. Overemphasizing mercy. If you overemphasize mercy, you don't care about people. If you accept people in their sin, you don't care about. Folks, this is from not a theologian. Go ahead and play this, Jared. Talking with Bishop Barron about church. Amen.
You don't take care of yourself. It's like, what the hell's wrong with you? It's like, where's the real you?
Yeah.
And the person, anyone who is subject to that, as long as it's done with care, you know, and not I'm better than you, which is a whole
right.
different thing. It's like, God, man, you're nothing like you should be. Well, that's it. You know, it seems to me that it's, and this is so necessary, is that it's, there's something, what's required is a re-emphasis on the potential nobility of the human being and the moral responsibility to make that nobility a reality.
Yeah.
You don't even talk about words like that. Like, I use the word nobility in my lectures, and it's such an archaic word. It's like, we should have a noble goal. It's like, who, what child is told that now?
Yeah, no.
And we're built for nobility.
Well, I mean, you're a psychotherapist, obviously. It seems to me.
I apologize to you guys that somebody said there's no sound. My wife said the sound just came on. Listen, we'll make this available. Go to YouTube. I'm sorry if that was, this is really, really good. We'll make this link available. You can go to YouTube and play it on YouTube. And his point is, I think it is so valid, so valid. You do not, if you are a good parent, you do not put up with stupid stuff from your kids, especially when they're young. You don't put up with it. Why do we think God puts up with stupid stuff from his kids? What is wrong with us? Like some of you couldn't hear Jordan Peterson. People come into church and it's all about love, 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 grace, grace, grace. And they come walking in and they're hooked on pornography. They're going out on their wife. They're cheating on the job. And he says, what the hell's wrong with you? Well, look at you. What is wrong with you? You're not a moral, noble human being. What is wrong with you? Well, that message is totally and completely gone from the church. And see, that's just the opposite. The church does not tell us, you are a Christian, rise above your carnal nature and be a noble Christian man. Rise above. The church is, everybody come and we're all a big mess and come on in here and Jesus will wipe us all clean and then we can all just hang around in this pool and just swim around together. It's a messed up message, folks.
Dave, we've talked about this on the huddle over the years. The church is like a hospital now.
Yes.
The church is where there's no renouncing of sin or to change your lifestyle much, or maybe a little bit. Man, if you're messed up, come here and we'll help you.
That's right.
Instead of stop doing that. Now, I don't know if this Peterson guy is saved or not, but I'll tell you, you better listen to him a little bit because the young people are. He is very active in the millennial culture. They're reading him. My son reads him. My son, Dylan, loves him, and he loves the Lord. He likes his practical thinking. The guy could be an atheist, but what he is saying has biblical roots. He just
truth
doesn't even
truth.
Know it. He doesn't
truth
know it.
Is truth. Truth is truth. So, again, I've told this story before, but it seems like an appropriate time to tell it. Again, when I was a football coach, Everybody was allowed to be on my team. Anybody, I used to walk the halls and try to get guys out for the team. Guys who hadn't played or hadn't played since junior high or whatever, and I tried to get them back out on the team. And then they'd come out on the team. I'm telling you this: if they didn't toe the line, they didn't stay on the team. I didn't bring the team down to the level of the lowest common denominator. I tried to raise the team to the level of its leaders. And I would spend a lot of time in my coaching our leaders, coaching our captains to be leaders. The men are following you. We expect better things out of you. You have to rise above what everybody else is doing. You are a leader. And then tell the rest of the guys on the football team, if you're going to do that crap, you can't play on our team, because there's something special about being on our team. Folks, there's something special about being a Christian. There's something special, something noble. There's something that not just everybody has. Now, everybody can have it. Hey, folks, come on. Is there anything noble? What a word. Is there anything noble in your church? Do they talk about noble? Jared, that'd be a Webster's. That'd be a Webster's real quick. Is nobility taught in your church? When you go into that, do they talk about you rising to a higher level? Or does your church always talking about Jesus coming down to your level and pulling you up? Do you ever rise up? You ever rise up, O men of God? Nobility is dignity of mind, greatness. Christians should be great. Grandeur, that elevation of soul, which comprehends bravery, generosity, magnanimity, intrepidity, and the contempt of everything that dishonors character. Is that taught in church? Is that taught at Fairfield Christian Academy? Antiquity of family, descent from noble ancestors, the qualities which constitute distinction of rank in civil society, the persons collectively who enjoy rank above commoners. Folks, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Why do we act like a squalor? Why do we act like everybody else at Walmart? Somebody help me out. Why do we?
Because there's no short-term gain with nobility. That's why.
Well, can I tell you another reason, Vinny? Because nobility is tough. Nobility is tough.
Hey, Coach, if I may, the analogy that the church is a hospital, I believe the church is a mass unit, and we're supposed to bandage them up, put them back out into battle.
Well said.
Put them back out into the street. And the second thing is that when they say there's too much grace, I say, no, there's not enough grace. Proper grace is moral conviction and a holy God. That's what we lack. We lack the true understanding of the moral conviction. We lack the understanding what the love of God is, that he does chastise those whom he loves. And when he does, he spanks you pretty good, and you understand, and you grow up. And when you become a mature Christian, no longer are we having to put a milk bottle and split in somebody's mustache to give them milk. They need to grow up and eat some meat.
King Arthur. I think about King Arthur, Dave. The Knights of the Round Table. What, weren't they noble? Weren't those noble Christian men? Wasn't that what Braveheart was about? Noble, something special? You got to do something special to be part of this group? Come on in.
Dave, I don't think the church is the hospital. I think it's hospice. People go there and die.
Oh,
that's where they are.
Let me drop my mic.
That's great, Chad. I'm going to use that.
Yep, that's it. It's hospice. People go there to die. I'm going to write on
that. Coach.
Yep.
Hey, in my own little 2-cent world here, living the lifestyle we're talking about right now is costing me every relationship in my family. Every one of them hate my guts.
Yep. I was having a conversation with somebody the other day about that, and they said, Coach, you're right, man. It's starting to hit home. It's your enemies will be those of your own household. See, you know what they resent? Even those who aren't saved, they know there's supposed to be something special about being a Christian. They know that. They know that a Christian ought to be above everybody. They know that. And they look around and they see that they're not. They're not. These people are Christians, but they're not very noble. And so they hate Christ. They hate Christianity. They hate the hypocrisy.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
I see. Did you mention number four? Because number four, I think, is very important. Number four, persons collectively who enjoy rank above commoners, the peerage, as the English nobility. Okay, mm-hmm. That's all about the titles of nobility amendment. That was Article 9 in the Articles of Confederation. And when it got switched over to the Constitution as Article 13, somehow it lost the penalty. The penalty for breaking that article was treason, and it was hanging. Okay, and somehow that disappeared. That is how we got lawyers in government. Nothing to do with Roger. Roger, we love you. But lawyers should not be in government because they're beholden to a foreign power.
Amen. I would agree with that. Hey, Lowell, do you have those characteristic of a knight? I remember at one point you shared that with us. Can you take
always?
Huh? Can you dig that?
Always have those.
The nobility, folks, the Jordan Peterson's really on to something. I just really impacted me this morning when I heard that word noble. I thought, man, that's right. We're not very noble.
There's a couple different ones. Probably what you're looking for is the four charges. In other words, what you're charged with to be a Christian man, a Christian knight. And the first is to be without fear in the face of your enemies. The second is to stand brave and upright that the Lord may love thee. The third is speak the truth always, even if it means your death. And the fourth is to protect the helpless and do no wrong.
Wow.
Is that what you were thinking of?
Yeah. Is that taught in church? Roger, is that taught up there where you go? Read those again, Lowell. I wish we had the link because I put it up on some people need to read it. Read it again.
Be without fear in face of your enemies.
Hang on. Is that taught in church? Is that the characteristic of being an elder in the church? Go ahead, Lowell, next one.
Stand brave and upright that the Lord may love thee.
Boy, I've told you guys this. I have fine-tuned ears when it comes to language. Say that again, Lowell.
Stand brave and upright that the Lord may love thee.
That the Lord may love thee. In other words, that you make yourself lovable to the Lord. Not that the Lord automatically loves. Doesn't say that, does it, Lowell, that the Lord automatically loves you. But nope. You make you bold and upright that the Lord may love you. Wow. Woo-wee. That's that Holy Spirit tree. And what's the third one, Lowell?
Speak the truth always, even if it means your death.
I'm okay, you're okay, go along to get along. Who are you to judge, right? Come on, that's the church, right? That's the church.
And you know, that aspect of the Lord may love you is so, so important because that's where the gospel has been screwed up so bad. The churches have been preaching God loves you already anyway, the way you are.
Yep.
That's not true. God has provided a way for you to come into his love. He does not love you till you take that way.
All right, Larry, you did it. Jared, go down to Love of God, R.C. Sproul, the late R.C. Sproul.
Larry, stop ruining my morning with such logic.
Because, you know, hang on. Is that the one? Yeah. Okay, so am I going to talk about that? No, I'm not going to talk about that. I've had some conflicts, folks, because people think that I'm unchristian when I say that God doesn't love everybody in their sinful condition. And it's been misrepresented what I've said. I always say the same thing. God's love is available to everyone. His love is available to everyone. But apart from Christ, the wrath of God abides on you. Folks, if you think that God loves the devil's children, you are of your father, the devil. Jesus said, the works of your father you will do. If you think that Jesus loves the devil's kids the same way he loves his children, you got a screw loose. You don't love your neighbor's kids the same way that you love your own children. You got a screw loose. Now, your love is available, but it's not the same. And for me to come on the show and say, listen, God does not love people God's love is available to people, but God is not love. Those are not his children. Those are not. Well, hey. R.C. Sproul does a good job of explaining this. Go ahead. I wasn't the first guy to come up with it. Did somebody want to say something before we play this?
Yeah, definitely. Coach, every time that God's chosen people that he loves fell into sin in the Bible, he states that he abhorred his inheritance. He stated, God stated, he repented creating us.
He did. That's right.
So God hates it. God hates it when we sin. He hates us when we sin. And he hates making us. I mean, it's very clear in the Bible, Coach.
It's very clear. It's very. See, remember, Mark, they use this scripture. Who can separate? What can separate us from the love of God? Persecution, distress. Well, see, listen. He's writing to believers. Paul's writing to believers. What book is that in? Who can separate us from the love of God?
Yes, and yes.
Right? He's writing to believers. If you're a believer.
Chapter 8.
What's that?
Romans chapter 8, right at the end of it.
Romans chapter 8. I'm sorry, Jared. Pull that up there real quick. Folks, this is the book of Romans is written to believers. It's not written to the lost world. Right at the end of verse 8, he says, wait a minute, Jared, stay right there. Stay right there, Jared. Go back to verse 1, Jared. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So would it be safe to say there is, therefore, now condemnation to those who are not in Christ Jesus? Isn't that what logic teaches us? There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who've received Christ. But there must be condemnation to those who don't. In fact, the scripture says they're condemned already. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. Daggone, I could read this whole thing. I'm not going to do it. Scroll down to the very bottom, Jared. Very bottom of Romans 8. Oh, my goodness. There it was. There it is. Verse, and all these things were more than conquered. He is speaking to believers. All these things were more than conquerors to him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is believers! Man, come on, church. Come on, church. Wow. So let's go back to R.C. Sproul. That's John MacArthur. But this is R.C. Go ahead. Actually, this is Todd Friel, I think this is. And he'll say something at the end of it. Go ahead.
When everyone is talking about the love of God and God loves me just as I am, how would you respond?
The kingdom of God is not Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. I think there are few things more dangerous than preachers out there preaching that God loves everybody unconditionally. Because the message that is heard by the people who hear that is, there are no conditions. I can continue to live just as I'm living in full rebellion against God. And I have nothing to worry about because there aren't any conditions that I have to meet. God loves me unconditionally. I don't have to repent. I don't have to come to Jesus. I don't have to leave my life of sin. No conditions, no strings attached. God loves me just the way I am. He's glad that I turned out so nicely and so on. But there is a sense. I've written a book on the love of God where I talk about the three ways in which theologians speak about the love of God, God's love of benevolence, where God has a good will towards everybody, believers and non-believers. Beneficent love of God. God gives benefits to people, whether they're believers or not believers. The rain falls on the just as well as on the unjust. But the most important consideration is the love of complacency, not the love of smugness, But what is meant by the love of complacency is the filial love that God has for the redeemed. And that love is directed first to Christ and then to all who are in Christ, our elder brother. And that salvific love is not something that God has for everybody unconditionally. And sometimes we close our eyes to what the Bible says frequently about God's posture towards the impenitent. God, the Bible tells us, abhors the wicked. That's strong language. God abhors, detests the wicked who are impenitent. And then people say, well, God loves the sinner. He just hates the sin. But he doesn't send the sin to hell. He sends the sinner there. And so this is very dangerous stuff when we tell people God loves you unconditionally.
There are many.
Keep going, Jared.
Words in the Greek language to define love. It's kind of a big, sloppy, messy term in the English language. It can mean, I love a puppy, I love my wife, I love my God. In the Bible, it's far more specific. Did you hear the type of love that God has for his children, the ones who have been adopted? No longer is their father Satan, but their father is God. It is a filial, it is a family love. That is why we hear God called the Father. His relationship with the Son. God didn't have a baby, but it's the configuration of the Trinity that best describes their relationship. It is intimate, it is close, it is warm, it is wonderful. And that is the love that God has for you if you are in Christ. God loves you as much as he loves his Son. Hold the phone, Henrietta. How does that work? It is because you are in Christ. God sees you as the righteous one because of Christ, and he loves you because he loves the Son. Not just providing some goodies here and there, not maybe just coming to the rescue on occasion, but you are his or her beloved child if you are in Christ.
Whoa, huh? I might come on in, beat up on me, or beat up on R.C. Sproul, or beat up on Todd Friel.
That was all a mic drop, Coach. It was good stuff.
Yeah, but, well, that, and so what? So, see, there's no challenge. There's no challenge to being a Christian. That was the point that Jordan Peterson was making. There's no challenge to it. It's just kind of like the hospital. Everybody come to the hospital. Now come on in here. We'll give you some morphine. We'll make life more manageable for you. Everybody's welcome. All one and all, come on in here. There's no call. There's no call to be great. There's no call to be noble in Christianity. It's sad. Because the scriptures tell us that we are what? We sit in heavenly places, that we are kings and princes, that we're going to rule and reign with Christ. We are a royal priesthood. Isn't that what the scripture says? A holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people set apart. And now we just say, well, everybody can come and be one. Everybody can come. There's no requirements. Walk an aisle, say a prayer. You're saved. God loves you. God loves everybody. God loves everything. And so, why would somebody want to be one of us? If anybody can be one of us, why was so special about being one of us?
Don't forget to tithe.
Drop your money in the bucket.
Well, Dave, one of the things is that if anybody can be one or we can live it and God loves us the way they are, then why is the path to heaven straight and narrow and not wide? Because there is a standard that you have to carry. And that's why also I think more of us don't wear the Jesus hat or the Jesus nomenclature when we go out. Because our conduct is being judged, is being weighed in the balance. Because I can't act a certain way if I wear that stuff.
That's true.
Or I have to act certain way if I wear that stuff, one or the other. And so the path to heaven is through Christ, obviously, but it's straight and narrow, not wide.
It's broad and narrow, straight and narrow, wide, many and few, brother, many and few. And so we ought to be selling Christianity as an exclusive club open to everybody. But when you come, this is exclusive, man. This is the cream of the cream. This is the top line. And when you come in here, you ain't going to act like the world. You ain't bringing that worldly stuff in here, baby. Uh-uh.
This hey, is Coach.
Royal priesthood. Yeah, Vic.
Didn't he say that he doesn't send sin to hell, but people?
That's right. Sinners. Is not it, sin. He doesn't cast the sin into the lake of fire. He casts the sinner into the lake of fire. what a great misteaching, huh? Really. And I'm here right now today, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, because for whatever reason, God loved me so much that he sent his son, and that son knocked on my door and my heart, and I opened it. And I became a brand new creature. That happened to me. I didn't just get saved. Do you understand? I didn't just walk an aisle and get saved and then go live like everybody else knowing I'm saved. I signed up for an exclusive club. I want to be on God's all-star team. And doesn't everybody out there, when you were playing Little League ball as a kid, didn't you want to make the all-stars? Does the church encourage you to be an all-star? Or does the church teach you that, well, you know better than anybody else? We're all sinners and, you know, nobody's better. Well, that's part of the gospel message. That's part of it. No pride to enter in. You're not supposed to think of yourself. See, I never think of myself. I run this show, right? I run this show. I got hundreds, thousands of people tune in every day to watch this show. But I don't pound my chest over that. If you're a Christian, you ought to be doing the same thing too. You ought to be rising above the normal mediocrity. You ought to be rising above it. There's more truth here than you'll ever get from Rush Limbaugh or Glenn Beck. More truth here. But I don't put myself on a pedestal, say, oh, I'm great, I'm smarter, see what I've taught you. No. Why? Because it should be expected of us as believers that we would rise above the crowd. You know what's happening? Some of you are rising above the crowd. It's what would be expected of us. It's getting off of milk and eating the meat. It's becoming warriors. It's becoming frontline soldiers. It's becoming the ones that God can depend on. Nowhere in American society, in the world society, are people equal. Nowhere.
Dave. Think of Donald Trump's comments to the pastors. He said, where have you been? Where's the fight? Here's a guy that we're not even sure if he follows Christ, asking these men and women, where have you been?
Amen. Where are you? You know what it is, Roger? They don't fear the Lord. They do not fear the Lord. And if we really love the Lord, the scripture says, we would do the things that he asks us to. We wouldn't cower to abortion. We wouldn't allow homosexuals in the pulpit. We wouldn't allow, the churches would not allow homosexuals in the libraries. If we were a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, representatives of Christ. Man, dudes, shake your head. Your eyes are stuck. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.